Greetings, this is James Gilliland with As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got another good show tonight. What I wanted to do is give the listeners a chance to call in and ask questions. And we've been posting a lot of footage, you know, both in the MUFON Northwest has been picking up. And then on Coast to Coast, they've also picked up some footage. One is called the Birthday Wish footage that if you go to and just go to YouTube and type in eSETI birthday power-up, and it'll come on, and you can watch that footage. And, you know, we've had some just amazing things here. We had, right after that episode, we had another ship come in, a whole flurry of ships. Actually, there was four of them that came in as a triangle with one trailing. And then they lined up and straight up and down, and they looked like pinkish-orange little arc welding lights, really bright. Up and down, and unfortunately, both of my cameras were one was being repaired, and the other one was downloading the other footage from the night before, so they weren't available. But we did have some guests take some pictures, and those are up. They're not on the site yet. Hopefully, they'll get up on site pretty soon. But they are at MUFON Northwest. You can see those photographs, and as well as the birthday power up. So what happened was I was in meditation and I asked, you know, that the ships would come in and power up, you know, right over the house here for my birthday. And sure enough, they did. And, you know, there's some guy posting on there, just ignore him. I guess he's the UFO guy. I mean, I've heard from him before quite a bit. But it's, you know, the typical armchair skeptic, you know, posting things. And he's saying, oh, it's an iridium flare. It flew over your house at 9:20. I have all the stats on it, so that was nothing more than the iridium flare. It wasn't a UFO, but you know, the problem with these kinds of comments is that you can't use night vision goggles at 9:20, not here anyway, because it's way too light. You turn them on, they fry them. they don't work. You have to wait till it gets dark, and it doesn't get dark till about 10:30. And that ship flew over after 11, between 11 and 11:30. But anyway, so that pretty much debunks the debunker. And, you know, it's time to just use a little base common sense before throwing out, you know, accusations and assumptions, because they can be very easily disqualified. And so when you're out trying to discredit or disqualify somebody else, you might want to think about how you might just be disqualifying or discrediting yourself and establish your own character rather than the character of eSETI. But that being said, we usually don't even get into this, but there is comments on there, and they're beyond ridiculous. And no matter what you say, you can't appease these people. And for those of you who, you know, are having sightings and are having experiences and are looking for validation from, you know, the UFO community or, you know, on YouTube and things like that, you know, you best be ready, because when you post it, no matter how awesome it is, no matter how outrageous, no matter how many witnesses you have, how much evidence you have, if these things are doing loop-de-loops and landing and taking off again, you're going to have those people out there saying it's a satellite or a meteor or a flare. You know, we actually had the James Todd with OMSI tell us that a ship that landed on Mount Adams and morphed into three and back to one again several times and then took off was the space station. And he actually went on ABC and said, there's nothing to see here. This is just the space station. So to me, it's like, you know, if you're going to be in this field, be ready for that. I find it humorous, you know, when you film, you know, 32, sometimes even 100, you know, objects up there flying around, speeding up, slowing down, wiggling all over the place, making turns, stopping, you know, going off in two different directions and powering up on command. When you have this done on a regular basis, you know, at what point is it proof, you know, or evidence? I mean, the evidence is here. It's always been here. It's been here for 25 years. And, you know, it's time for these people to get out of their armchairs, you know, put their beer down, turn their TV set off, and start walking outside a little bit and look at the sky and see what's going on up there, because it is happening. You know, there are constant ships flying over here. I know John Kelly, who filmed, you know, just an amazing clip of ships, all these different ships, including massive power-ups, you know, he's getting all kinds of flack now as well. So, you know, I told him, you know, if you go to your inner, I think it's your innervoice.com, you can see that footage as well. But, you know, he's undergoing the ridicule now, and you know, kudos to him, because it is humorous. It's almost funny now, because it's getting so ridiculous that people are just so sure, you know, and they go, I've got the evidence, you know, I can prove this was this or this was that. But, you know, their evidence has so many holes in it. It's just so beyond ridiculous. You know, you don't even want to address it after a while. You just go, oh, it'll be whatever you want. You can make it whatever you want to make it, and have whatever experience you want to have. But that's the way we feel. We're not out to prove anything. We just put it up there and let you guys have your own experience, and we welcome people to come up and have their own experience here. And this is, you know, East Eddy is where debunkers come to die, basically, because the evidence is overwhelming. It's ongoing. It's continuous. And, you know, the orb footage where we have orbs flying in real time against the wind that people are saying are dust specks and things like that, it's just, you know, the theories that they come up with, you know, are missing base logic and base common sense. So I always thought, you know, as a scientist, you're supposed to apply, you know, some base logic and base common sense to these events. And when you have large, you know, lit up objects, self-illuminated objects flying against the wind, stopping, hovering over people, you know, going through the ground, coming back up again, and just all kinds of anomalous behavior, at what point do you just say, well, wait a second, you know, this is one of the most intelligent, self-propelled specks of dust I've ever seen, you know, because they just don't operate like any kind of a dust particle I've ever seen. But, you know, be that as may, we have been getting hit by some pretty major solar flares, and so people's, you know, irritability factor might be up. You might be having a lot of body pain and a lot of, you know, all kinds of things going on, you know, feeling lethargic, or sometimes you get excited, you know, it goes up and down with these waves. So, you know, everybody's going to be feeling different. So when you feel like there's something wrong, you're feeling all off and everything, just check out the, you know, SOHO site and see if you don't have an incoming, you know, and, you know, a geo-effective solar flare hitting the planet, because we are getting hit. And we're getting ready for some, we had some M-class flares, and now we're getting ready for some X-class flares, or the potential for that. So anyway, you'll see kind of some crazy things happening with electronics, your own energy fields. You know, you might want to start wearing some hats and some long-sleeve shirts when you're going to be out in the sun for a long time, because it's cranking up, you know, and things are happening. I've already commented on Elliman. I've sent that out. If you're not on the newsletter, I would suggest getting on the newsletter. Go to the eSETI, you know, .org website and sign up for the newsletter, because we've been commenting on, you know, Elliman, all these different things. And just to sum it up really quick, I mean, it was a long article, but I can just sum it up really quick, that we have to think about, you know, what's happened in the past? What does our ancient archaeology tell us that's happened on a cyclic, you know, manner? What is geology telling us? And why are they building all these massive underground facilities, you know, across the globe? You know, we need to go ahead and ask those questions, because somebody knows something is up, and somebody's been preparing for something, and that something is coming up right around the corner. So they know it's close, and, you know, for those of you who want to debunk Planet X or Nibiru or all these other things, I would keep an eye on what's going on, you know, behind the scenes. And if you know anybody in the know or whatever that really does know that, you know, unless they have their own little e-ticket where they can go underground and they think they're going to cruise through all this stuff, you know, they're the ones that aren't going to tell you, because they don't want the masses to know. They just want, you know, their specific elite and their closest friends, if they have any friends. I'm not sure if they have any friends, but or true friends, you might say. But the problem with that is that the Earth's frequency is rising. The Earth is ascending. She's moving to the next level. This is a scientific fact. This isn't prophecy anymore. The sun is changing. You know, the carbon-based life forms here are changing from carbon-12 to carbon-7, you know, and we're just getting bombarded by these new energies we've never experienced before. So the entire Earth is ascending. She's shifting, moving to a new level, and you've got to go with her. And the bottom line is, if you're not frequency-specific, and if you're holding this, the energies of tyranny, and you're playing the separation game and the unbridled greed, which we're seeing played out right now, and if you think you're going to crawl in a hole and be okay in this process, guess what? You're not. You are not going to match the frequencies, you know, of what's going on. So, you know, it's better to shift gears right now, you know, ask forgiveness, go within, and start getting, you know, align yourself with the healing process and start helping others, you know, help in the awakening and healing process. Put your assets and time towards that. And you'll make it through, but you're not going to make it through with the plan your ego has, because the ego plan is not going to make it. There is not going to be any tyranny or separation on the planet, you know. And if you come up, you know, if you're all down a little hole together with a bunch of tyrants and a bunch of self-serving, greedy people, guess what? You know, you're not going to last very long when the energy comes in, because everything is going to come up. You know, that control program is going to reach its epic, you know, down in these underground facilities. So if you want to go down to a hellhole, by all means do it. If you want to shift and start, you know, getting in alignment with the awakened healing process and make peace with the source and yourself, then I would suggest doing that as well. And I would suggest getting on that right away, because there's not a lot of time. But anyway, that being said, we have a really a good show coming up. We've got quite a few witnesses that have been here, you know, the past couple nights, and they're going to be coming on the line here real soon. We're over, you know, and in our, we have another little room over there, a little conference room, and they're hanging out there waiting to go online, and we're going to call that number and get them on and let them talk about some of their experiences here. Sounds like we're hooked up. Hello.
Hey James, this is Nate, and I'm about to pass the phone off. We got Gary is going to share some experiences with you. Okay,
great.
Here we go.
Hi James.
Hey Gary, how you doing?
Very good.
Welcome to the show.
Ah, thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, we'd love to hear about some of your sightings. I talked a little bit about the you know, the flare program, where people are saying these are flares and getting the timing all off and things like that. But, you know, I'd love to hear your experience about some of the things you've seen here and also some of the energies you've experienced here.
Well, I was, you know, just looking over your shoulder last night, you know, with the night viewer. And and it was just, you know, really interesting to see, you know, things change from, you know, dim to bright and back down to dim and sort of wiggle around.
Oh yeah,
and move in different directions.
Mm.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah,
and you know, there are certainly some other things that occurred last night, but unfortunately, I was looking in the wrong direction when I heard everybody go, "Wow, did you see that?" You
know? Yeah. Well, we had that one power up, you know, very close to the same time, a little bit. I think, I don't know what time it came in. It must have been, it was definitely dark, so it was after 10:30, so I think it was more like 11.
Yeah,
probably
it was close to
11:30.
Yeah.
Somewhere between 11 and 11:30. But we had another one come in from right over the house again, powered up, just lit up like crazy. I got that one on film as well. And then we had, it came in from the south, and then we had another one coming in from the north and powered up as well. And I got the tail end of that one. I didn't get the full power up, but, you know, you can hear everybody hooting and hollering and screaming about it. But, you know, the people that are saying these are iridium flares, you know, iridium flares go in one direction. They don't do head-ons and run into each other. You know, you know, there's just so many assumptions being made that if people did the research and looked up, you know, where the iridium flares were coming from, what direction, what time, they'd realize that, you know, this can't be dismissed as a satellite.
Yeah, there was no way that was some type of flare.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely no way.
Yeah, just about everybody that sees those is when they see them, it's, you feel an energy exchange too, and they're way too low. You know, those things are, satellites are pretty far up there. You know, and the speed of some of these things that we're filming, we're going, you know, quadruple the speed of any plane or satellite we've ever seen up there. So,
well, there early on, there was one thing that went across the sky. I mean, it went from, you know, one end of the sky to the other, it seemed like it was virtually instantaneous. I just, you know, swung my head from one one direction totally to the other direction. It went right by. It was that was pretty amazing.
I had one. I couldn't keep the camera. I was trying to keep the camera, and I was just swinging the camera across while I had it on it, and I almost couldn't keep the camera on it. It was going so fast. But you know, I'd like to hear some of the other. Do you have anything more to say about some of the other experience you've had while you're here?
Well, you know, again last night, you know, looking at the at Mount Adams, there were definitely I don't know what they were. This is my first experience here, so but you know, there were definitely, you know, lights that were, you know, coming up. Light and then getting brighter, you know, around the mountain. And there was at one point that one had split into two, and then they both disappeared, and then I hadn't seen anything after that. But that was pretty unique.
And that mountain is about, what, 13 miles away. So, you know, you buy those 3 million candle powers, you know, lights at the, you know, at your local store or whatever, the big ones, and you, and those you can put in your backpack, you know, and get them up there, and you know, they say it can be seen, you know, up to I can't remember what it was, like maybe 1 mile to 2 or 3 miles away at the most, you know, is what they're bragging about. And this is 13 miles away and massive lights, I mean, coming off that mountain. So I don't know what would generate that kind of candle power 13 miles away, you know, other than some real exotic technology.
Yeah, and who's up in the snow? I mean, that mountain is pretty much snow covered. who's up there wanting to flash lights anyway?
Yeah, I mean, who would pack? You know, you'd take a generator to generate that kind of wattage. It seems like you'd have to pack a generator up and have a giant bank of halogen lights and light the whole thing up at the same time or something to even be able to see it from here.
But this is a very powerful place.
Yeah.
I'm just amazed. You know, I sat out at front just probably a good 3 or 4 hours just taking it all in. It was just amazing.
I mean,
people have to visit this place to really get that sense of what it's all about.
Yeah, it does take that, you know, to connect in with the land here. It's you know, I always tell people, you want to connect with the ETs, you know, go out, sit in the field for a little while and just connect with the land here, and that seems to open you up to the experience.
Yeah, it was truly amazing. I could have sat there literally all day long and just just taking it all in. It's absolutely beautiful.
Great. Well, is there anything else you want to share before we pass the phone?
No, I think that's about it. Thank you very much for the experience here. I really appreciate the time here and everybody that's here.
Well, thanks for coming on the show.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Hopefully we've got another guest to bring on the line. Sounds like we lost our MC, but I hear footsteps. Hello, anybody home?
Hello.
Hello, who am I speaking with?
This is Michaela.
Oh, hey, Michaela, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. You know, I wanted to get your, you know, experience, you know, and find out, you know, since you've been here at the ranch or anything you want to talk about, you know, the ships you've seen here or wherever you want to go.
Yeah. Maybe talk about those red ships last weekend.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
Just like last weekend, I think it was already mentioned briefly, but there are those like four huge red ships around. And since that happened, I've been taking pictures of myself. I'll sit down on the ground and meditate and connect with the land and with the universe. And I'll take pictures, and there's all these red orbs all around me and these like crazy red flashes of light.
Yeah. Some kind of connection sounds like happened. I know those the beings, when we connected into them to find out who they were, I think they said they were the Jahari, and they were seventh dimensional beings. And that energy, the orb energy that's connecting with everybody here seems to be the same energy that, you know, is coming off of those ships.
Yeah, it definitely feels like that. Feels like they are knocking on the door out here and starting to introduce themselves to us.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about where they ended up? I mean, I'm looking out the window right now over at Flat Top Mountain, which is where they appeared, right in front of Flat Top Mountain. And when I went over there and I looked at exactly, I drove over to that area, they seemed to appear right over the Baptist Church. You know, and right in front of Jonah Ministries. Of course, we won't hear from them, you know. But it definitely was put on a major show, and I don't know how long it lasted because, you know, you go out of time when those
events happen. Yeah, exactly. Like, it could have been seconds, or it could have been like 15 minutes.
It was at least 10, it could have been 15 minutes, you know.
But
I remember when we saw it, I was looking for a camera, and I didn't have a camera, and I was trying to find somebody with a camera, and all that time, you know, and I was watching it for quite a while before that, and then I said, we got to get this on film, and finally one woman had a little point-and-shoot camera, you know, and got a photograph of it, but boy, if I would have had my stuff out there at the time, that would have been amazing, but that's how it goes. You know, we get less than probably 0.5% of the UFOs flying around here on film. The other ones are just, you're just not in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, seems like some of them aren't ready to be filmed yet or something.
Yeah, I think most of it is we're so busy here working, you know, on in the gardens or the fences or keeping the yaks in or whatever that, you know, we're not walking around with a camera, so you don't have that much time. And even at night, when we do take the time to film these things, because they're massive lights and they're easier to see at night, even then we're only out there maybe an hour, an hour and a half. Oh, so you know, you really think about it, out of 24-hour day, you know, we're out there an hour, you know, trying to get on
That's
film.
A good point.
Yeah, and we have like boxes and boxes of footage. So you know, when people see that, just say, well, imagine, you know, how much we've missed, you know, how much is flying over.
Definitely. Yeah, I know there's so many times when, like, I'm looking at the sky and I'll miss something, but here, like, across the field or something, people screaming, and, like, so many times people will see things that I completely miss out of, or I'll see things that other people miss out of, and then we'll all just miss out on certain things. I guess it's just about being fortunate for what we're able to see.
Yeah. During that event, when those red ships came in, it, you know, what they came in, the people that saw them in the beginning said they came in as a triangle with one trailing.
Yeah. And then
the triangle lined straight up. It morphed and lined straight up and just sat there for at least 10 minutes. I don't know how much longer. But then we had God knows how many witnesses. How many witnesses did you think were out in the field?
Good amount of people out there. There's like probably at least 20 people out there watching.
Uh-huh.
My guess.
Yeah. So we have the witnesses, we have the photograph, you know, to verify it, you know, and their stories and everything else. But what's funny is there's people that are out there that are still going to say, you know, oh, that was a meteor, you know, or that was a satellite. Or what would you say if somebody were to tell you that that was just a satellite, you know, and gave you some coordinates and said, okay, that was a satellite?
I'd laugh at them. It's like, you know, all I could do was laugh. Like, there's...
Yeah.
It's just, I feel like once you get to that point, it's really just foolish to try to deny it. It's just trapping yourself in a false reality, really. Like, I can understand why some people think that the spaceships are satellites, you know, because that's what they've been told, and it seems very... They look like satellites sometimes, except for when they wiggle around and power up. But once you get to something like this, like four huge ones, like, I just don't see how it can be denied. You know, there's... I've never seen anything like that in my whole life. I don't know.
The colors. Yeah, the colors, how vivid those colors were. And the way they lined up, you know, they came in as a triangle and then lined up. And we did some research, you know, to see if there was anything flying in the area, any helicopters, any flares dropped, you know, any other explanation, and nothing. I mean, there is nothing, you know, around this. And what's interesting is that a lot of people witnessed it here in Trout Lake, and some have come forward and talked about it. But you know, there is the status quo here that doesn't want to be ridiculed or whatever, that isn't ever going to talk about it. But they're also seen over towards Seattle, where another woman who comes here on a regular basis. These came in about 11 o'clock, and then another woman who she's one of the frequent guests here who's filmed a lot of UFOs. The same ships appeared to her.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, over in Seattle, and she got photographs of them as well. So,
oh, wow.
They are interacting with, you know, there is some kind of a communication going where they're interacting with certain people and allowing, you know, and making their presence known to certain people. It doesn't matter where you are.
Yeah. It'd be fun to learn more about their story.
Yeah. It'd be fun to be up on one of the ships.
Yeah, definitely. We should do that.
Yeah, is there anything else you want to share or talk about?
Nope. I think that's good.
Okay. Well, as long as you're having a good time here, that's all that matters.
Yeah, lots of heart openings.
Yeah. Is there anybody else that wants to come on the show?
Let me check.
We can also take on some callers here if people want to call into the show. The number is... Oh, nobody?
Nobody else.
Okay.
All right.
Today we can't get one of the people that did the clearing process to talk about it, but I can go into that. But anyway, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, of course. Take care. Goodbye.
Yeah, we can go ahead and do call-ins now. So let me give you those numbers. It's 888-627-6008. That's the toll-free number. Or 530-327-7602. That's your direct line. And so I know if you're like me, you probably don't have a pencil handy. So we'll give that again in just a couple minutes. So go ahead and get a pencil on a piece of paper or just have your phone with you. But we'll give that out again in just a couple minutes. But sounds like we might have somebody on the air. I don't know. I'm not. But anyway, hopefully we'll be able to get some callers here. I've got to do a couple little quick fixes here on the net, and then go from there. Let them know that the call lines are open. So anyway, if you want to call again, I'll give you those numbers. It's 888-627-6008. And the other number is 530-327-7602. And hopefully we can mute that other line. It looks like we got Cindy on line 2. Cindy, are you with us?
Hi, James. This is Cindy Irish calling from Michigan.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. I was out at your ranch for 9 nights this month.
Oh, great.
I was the one that was out there when that big ship came in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when the ones that lined up or the...
No, it was the one that had the... Actually, it was 2 nights in a row, and it was just suddenly there, and it didn't even power up. It came in, powered up, and it had spokes coming out of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, I remember that.
And we saw like 50-somethings up in the sky. You stopped counting after a while.
Uh-huh. And what was your overall experience? I mean... At the ranch.
Well, I can tell you one thing. I can describe one thing that happened that didn't happen at night. It was when I was out in the middle of the sky watching field, and I think you call it the vortex. That's, you know, that little area that's got, like, flags out there. What do you call that?
Well, it's a little prayer circle, basically.
It's a meditation circle.
It's a kind of a Tibetan thing.
Well, I went out there in the middle of the afternoon, and I did kind of what you just alluded to a few minutes ago. I just sat there, and rather than meditated or actually tried to do something myself, I sat there and tried to just let whatever... I actually let go, which is very unusual for me, because I like to be in control of everything. But I thought, well, I'll just sit there, and just, you know, because it's so peaceful there, so I kind of just sat there and did nothing. But what was really unusual is that I was out there, what I thought, was like almost an hour, and I looked at my watch, and that, like 7 minutes had gone by, and I thought, well, I had too many thoughts to only do all that in 7 minutes. But does time slow down out there?
You know, it does. What's really interesting is, and it goes either way too, because sometimes it'll speed up or slow down. I know Mel Fabregas was here. And he was sitting out, you know, having a conversation with, I think it was Brooks Agnew and Bob Dean and some other people out there. And all of a sudden he lost track of time. And he thought he was talking to him for just maybe an hour or so. And it was like 5 hours. And he got he got an incredible sunburn from the experience. You know,
yeah, like I couldn't believe it. I thought, oh no. I kept going. I looked at my watch and I kind of tapped it. I thought, well, maybe it's not working. And I just couldn't believe that I had all the thoughts I did and felt the passage of time, and it was only like 7 minutes, and I couldn't believe it.
Time does bend here. You know, it bends here, and it can go forward or backward. It's kind of an interesting phenomenon.
Well, I was there a year ago, and that's why I came back this year. You and I talked about this, and I saw something out there when I was alone in the field last year that was just amazing, that this light with the spokes around it, humongous, following the path of the trees that bordered the sky-watching field that moved towards the mountain and went off to the east. And I wanted to see it again because it's different. It was different than the other lights I saw in the sky, which could have been satellites, could have been military. It moved in. The lights that I saw that are different, that are smaller, they moved in a pattern. So I don't know what those were. But this was different, and that's why I came back this year, and I talked to you about it, and I said, that's what I came back for. I wanted to see if I saw it again. And suddenly it was just there. And it was... How do you explain it?
Well, obviously you're connected to them, and they're coming back for a repeat... You know, performance. You know, we have these connections, and they watch us. You know, they're monitoring us and working with us and helping us to evolve. And so, a lot of times, you put that intent out there and go with that intent. They pick it up and they'll do a little dazzle duty for you.
Well, remember, I asked you to describe what you saw because I wanted to see if it validated what I was seeing. described exactly what I was seeing. And it was really nice because there's only about five of us out there, which I think is really unusual. Usually there's a group out there of many more people. So it was very intimate. I felt, I don't know if you did, that there was a couple there that was so sweet and so innocent, and their aura was just so nice. I couldn't see them because it was dark, but I could feel them. I felt that their energy was really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Do you sometimes feel that the energies... Also,
that does,
have
Oh, definitely. That attracts the ships. If, you know, what I find out, there's an old saying, the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you connect. And so if you come with a lot of aggression or fear or skepticism or whatever else, you know, you're not going to have a very good experience. But if you come with an open mind and a loving heart, and you've got some real sweet energy, you're going to, you know, attract some very sweet beings.
You know, another energy I think that people don't think about is that first-time visitors are so overwhelmed. I don't even know what you call that emotion, but it's almost like you're not confused, but you're so overwhelmed that you can't settle your aura, which I did this time because I was ready for it, and I specifically came back for just this, and those two nights were totally worth it because I don't know what it was, but I'm telling you, it was special.
Great. Hey, well, thanks for coming on the show and sharing that, and hopefully we'll have some more experiences.
Well, James, thanks for opening your home to everybody.
Oh, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
It looks like we've got Melanie from Colorado on line one.
Hi, James. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I've actually got quite a few questions. Just let me know when to stop, if it's okay.
Go ahead, partway.
Okay, I understand that on 11/11 of this year, that a lot of your North American Indians are going to be having a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a speaker on Coast to Coast Radio about a month ago, and he was talking about a vortex opening up in the Four Corners area on 11/11, and that it was going to take 1 to 2 years for it to open up. And part of this vortex was to stabilize the planet. And then there was also going to be another grid that was going to be opening up. And what the speaker mentioned was it had something to do with stabilizing the planet to stop the polar shift. Do you know anything about this and the correlation with the meeting with the North American Indians, the Maya, and so on that same day?
I have heard about it, and I actually think I might have been invited to it. I'm not sure, but I have other events that I have to take care of here. But the definitely any gatherings like that, you know, with that intention in mind and working with, you know, the vortexes or even creating a vortex yourself is going to help, you know, shift the energies and you know, it might negate some of the major, you know, things that are on the book. So to me, it's my, you know, the way I go by my thing is I go, praise Allah, tie your camel. You know, So I focus on you know, healing the earth and getting people to wake up, knowing that some changes are necessary and the earth does need to go through her process. And I think it's very arrogant of us to try to stop that, you know, stop her healing and her cleansing or whatever else she needs to do. But I think we can negate a lot of the heavy energies around that and help this shift along. Because whatever's going to happen is going to be what's necessary to happen, you know, to bring this shift along. And, you know, if a lot of people wake up and there's no need for these massive changes, then, you know, they might be, you know, mitigated, or we might be able to get a lot of divine intervention to help out, you know. So
I think we're getting a lot of divine intervention to help.
We definitely are. We're getting a lot of help, but, you know, we need to start bucking up and doing our thing, you know, as part of the process as well.
Okay, also, I know this is going to sound really, really crazy. I found it, and then I haven't been able to relocate it. But it has to do with ascension. A couple of weeks ago, you were talking about the new Earth. And according to the Urantia book, The Divine Plan, during the ascension, it's going to go into 3D, 4D, 5D, and 9D.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, they are going to try to rescue the children. Now, is the new Earth 9D or is that 5D? It sounds more like it might be 9D.
You know, I'm not sure about the 9D stuff, that, but I do know that, you know, there are, we've been told since the 70s that there would actually be two Earths. And I know the Holtby prophecies talk about two realities, and one reality is where the people are, you know, living in harmony with each other and the planet, and, you know, aligned with Creator, and they continue to move on. And the people that are just into, you know, that are self-serving, that are misusing technology and into the control and enslavement program, that one takes this big dive and it just stops. The line stops. And so what I'm saying is that, you know, social consciousness and that program, that real controlling, manipulating program that's being run right now, that's, you know, very, you know, it's full of lack and oppression and everything else, that's coming to an end. And that might be the two worlds. I mean, one world might need to go through all these changes, the heavy-duty changes, and the other world, the people there might jump timelines or move on to another reality. And, you know, there's so many different stories about that. You know, I haven't figured it all out myself yet. I'm looking at a lot of different, you know, angles. But a long time ago, the Masters told us that there would be two realities or two Earths. And, you know, with the many world theories and the other dimensional theories and all these other things, it does make sense. That could happen very easy.
Yeah, because one of the Galactic Federation postings, I believe this is Galactic Federation, had it where the Earth was going to be birthing. But I've been trying to find the truth on this, and I've only seen it one place where they're talking about the Earth actually splitting. I can't, it's like I can't think of it, like some of your germs split. But the Earth is actually, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. But the Earth is actually
going to be... Yeah, it is me too.
But one of the Earths, and this is going to sound really, really crazy, but it was talking about going through a white hole. Okay, and this was kind of via the sun. I know this sounds really crazy. So the only thing I've been able to find on this subject is that the physicist in Hawaii, that Nassim Harmine.
Yeah, Nassim Harmine.
Yeah, he's fantastic. That he actually has discovered that there is a white hole in the sun. And if you take a look at a lot of your UFO pictures, there's a lot of UFOs that have been spotted around the sun, and he actually has a YouTube where you can see the heat going through this hole through the sun.
Yeah,
And that's all I've been able to find on it. In fact, I can't even find the regular posting that I saw on this. But
yeah,
do you know anything at all about it?
I might be quoting this wrong. I'm not sure, but I believe that he says there's a black hole at the center of the sun, and then there's an event horizon, which is the heat, you know, and the shell of the sun. But when you see a sunspot, when those big holes open up, you look in there, it's black. You know, if the sun is this hot, gaseous ball of energy, then it would be solid all the way through and, you know, doing its nuclear reaction there. But, you know, obviously when you look at these pictures, these, you know, black holes, they call them, on the sun, why is it black if there's not a black hole in the middle of the sun? So it, my belief is, and I'm not sure if he agrees, I think he does, is that if you did go through the sun, and they actually did a movie on this, Lost in Space, you know, because of that, they brought out that theory that if you went straight through the sun and you had enough shielding, you would actually go into a whole different dimension.
What I've read, yeah. In fact, one, it's almost like a gate, a transmittal gate.
Mm-hmm. And what I know for a fact, basically, I have it right on my screensaver. I'm looking at it right now. Is that there's a photograph of the Milky Way galaxy, and at the center of the galaxy is this massive purple bubble that's just erupted of energy coming up both sides of it, and thrown off huge amount of energy, and that energy is connected to all the other suns in the galaxy, and those suns are going off as well, and all the planets are going through, you know, incredible changes during this process. So at
is that
minimum,
where the time is lining up? Is that part of where the time is lining up?
Yes, yes, and that's just science, basically. But when you see that much energy and you see the sun doing its thing and everything else, and we're moving into a highly energized place in space, and we're getting hit with over 500 massive hits of cosmic energies a day, where it used to be maybe 50, you know, you factor all that in, you know, we are in for some big time changes. And there are some, you know, we're moving into uncharted territory, and there are some big objects going to be whizzing by and through, so we need to start paying attention to that and really ask ourselves, why is everybody preparing for some big event, you know, behind the scenes? They know something, and hopefully one of these days somebody's going to have the courage, you know, to step up and say, this is what is going on. And they have. Some have, and spilled the beans on YouTube and things like that.
Yeah, well, the dark's trying to hide things, and I saw a scientific write-up where when you have a lot of negative energy, they actually have been able to pick that up within the space realm. Right. A scientist has actually been able to put this on equipment, and right before 911, it spiked up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I think, you know, and they know that. The energy you're referring to, are you talking about the photon belt?
No, it's a different situation. But the you know, we've got a couple of the callers on. I want to bring them on. So do you have one more quick question, and then we'll have to skip over to somebody else here?
Okay. One more quick. Do you know anything about the liftoff instructions that is part of the Palladium Phoenix write-ups?
No, I haven't heard about that, but shoot me an email. I might have heard about it, but in a different way, but shoot me an email and so I can look into that.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for coming on the show. I think we've got Sally from Fairfield on line 2. Let's see if Sally's on the line.
Hello?
Hello, is this Sally?
Yes, it is. Hi, James.
Hi, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Your place, your ranch up there is like another dimension, man, I see. I mean, you got the ships flying over, powering up, and you got these waves of these orbs. I mean, where are they coming from? I mean, whoo, your video on your website is wonderful. Plus, being there is wonderful. I just love it. I just love it.
Yeah, we have a lot of here as well. We have
a lot of what?
Masters appearing here as well. We're actually getting photographs, you know, of Ezekiel appeared, Kuan Yin appeared, Mary.
I saw the one of Mary. It was wonderful.
Yeah. Six-dimensional felines
Yes.
are popping in. So it's a
yes.
crazy place.
Yes. And I was wondering, what do you think, okay, those pictures of two suns in China, I mean, pictures of that, what do you think that is?
Well, you know, everybody's trying to dismiss it as a lens flare, but, you know, I don't think so.
Oh, no.
I think a lot of scientists are saying that when Nibiru comes in, it is going to come in behind the sun. So, you know, that's where they're saying it is coming in from. So, you know, something's going on. There's some pretty weird stuff happening out there. And
you bet.
You know, there's a lot of
fake. You sent me an email of what's happening in the South Pole, that video.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah,
that
guys standing out in radioactive gear watching this massive light object sitting out over there, hovering over their unit there.
Oh, my gosh. First the sun rises and this other planet, or something's right coming right behind it, too. And then the station there, that light was just all night long. It was just beaming up. And then when sunrise happened or whatever, it went back down.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty strange stuff going on there. You know, it would be nice if NASA and these other people would come out and share, you know, we are funding the bill for this, you know, and they should be sharing this information with others. But their job is to maintain the status quo. You know, they want everybody to keep shopping. you know, like nothing to see here, folks. Keep shopping. And it's getting really beyond ridiculous now that I can't believe anything that comes out of there anymore.
I can't either. And people that do not notice what's going on, I think they're going to, like that lady said, you know, maybe stay on the old earth. Even though I think it's the same earth, it's very confusing what's going on, but it's exciting. You know, it's going to be the ride of our lives. And I just emailed you something from Zeta Talk came out talking about the FEMA camps. They're going to be used when these three disasters happen, like the New Madrid and the West Coast volcanoes. And you saw the videos of the steam coming out of the volcanoes in southern San Bernardino area. I mean, that's exciting.
I think that's a natural process occurring, you know, because the planet is expanding. But I also think we're getting a little help from the Hart boys, you know, to push these things. You know, they take advantage of already existing, you know, events and places that are fragile.
I agree. And you know what the good news is where I live is we used to have chemtrails every day, and we haven't had them for a month.
Yeah, they've stopped here the past week. We've had clear weather, but just about, you know, 2 weeks ago, we just got hit so hard with chemtrails. If you walked across the field, you know, your feet just turned black. And I don't know what they were spraying, but it's pretty nasty. I was hoping to get it analyzed and find, but I'm sure it's aluminum and barium and strontium and all the other nice little heavy metals that are toxic. You know, I've got two other callers here, so is there anything you want to...
No, I just wanted to say hello and discuss what we did. Thank you.
All right, well, thanks for coming on the show. I think I've got Shelley on line 3. Let me see. Is Shelley with us? If not,
Shirley,
it might
here.
Is this Shelley?
Shirley.
Oh, Shirley, okay. Got a little typo there. Welcome to the show.
Hey, James. Shirley from Canada, Vancouver.
Great.
Nice to hear your voice again.
You too.
Hey, I just wanted to tell everybody my experience at the ranch. You know, it was definitely life-changing, and I said that to my girlfriend before I came there, that it was going to be, and I was right. Mm-hmm. The healing session with you was amazing. And, I didn't see any UFOs close, but I definitely seen many high up, so... Mm-hmm. They were definitely UFOs that I seen as well, so that's
right.
I can say without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember that orb picture we showed you on Sunday that Shelley grabbed on her camera with the cat face in it?
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
That was a good one. And, hey, I did a human design charting for you. I don't know if you had a chance to read it. I sent it to you.
Not yet, but I'll get to it.
There's just one little quote in it right at the end I just wanted to tell you. It says, you and everyone with whom you are involved in your life are going to have transformative changes. And isn't that true?
Yeah, definitely.
So cool.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks, James, for everything, and I hope to come back soon. Actually, I was thinking about quitting my job and just moving there. What do you think?
Possibly. Give us a run. All right. All right, take care.
Thank you.
I might be able to get one more caller in here. We've got Don on line one, and this will probably be our last caller because we're running out of time. Don, are you with us?
Hello. Yes.
Hello, Don. Welcome to the show.
Yes, this is Don. Yeah,
is there something you want to share with us? Or we've just got a couple minutes left, and that's it.
Okay, this is Don. This is Don from Cedar Woolley.
Uh-huh.
And I just wanted to share with you just a couple nights ago on my back porch, I was taking a picture of a light. It was pretty obvious to me. It was an unidentified starcraft. I took a quick picture, and then all of a sudden it powered up. And just a second after I took the picture, as if it was signaling to me, saying, "Hi, we love you, and thanks for your time to be outside to see us and to visit with us in your heart." So, And then I took another picture, and it powered up again and darted in the sky. I was just amazed, absolutely thrilled by it.
I love it when those satellites respond to you, you know, respond to your thoughts and your cameras and everything else, you know, and people say, these are satellites. I just go, give me a break.
Yeah, but I just wanted to comment, and I'm looking forward to going and seeing you guys up there at the Mount Adams. But anyway, things are alive and kicking here in Cedar Woolley, and I sent you a couple emails and videos of some of the things that I took videos of. So when you get a chance, you can look at it.
I will. I'll send them out for this too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for calling
in. Yeah.
Well, folks, unfortunately, we're out of time. I wish we could stay on longer. I'm sure we have a whole list of other people who want to come and tell their stories, but that's what it's all about is you know, people having their own experience and sharing that experience with others, you know, and ending this giggle factor and this other nonsense. You know, the debunkers have just got to give it up. You know, it's happening all over the world right now, and it's going to continue to happen. So anyway, we're out of time, so have a great evening. And, you know, tonight's a new moon, so take a little time off and get out, you know, get outside and watch the skies and see what's flying over in your neighborhood. And, you know, put the call out, you know, put it in your heart and send love and joy and bliss to them and just say, hey, I want to have an experience. I want to know the truth. Who are you? And see what happens. Anyway, this is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening.